You're on 94.3 The Bridge. Radio that's worth listening to. This is Once for All, where Jude 3 says, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Listen in as the faith held by believers of all times is now delivered to you.
If you ask most Christians, I think most Christians would probably agree that God's word is the inspired and errant word of God. And so this is the word that they have to guide their lives and to listen to hear what God says. And that is all good and right. But many Christians will also say, but the Lord has also led this on my heart, or that I feel the Spirit leading me in this direction or that direction. And does the Lord reveal these things to us apart from God's Word? That's our topic for today. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Once for All. I'm your host, Pastor Evan Gigland, the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon. And it's great to have you with us today. And you can chime in today's broadcast. The toll-free number is 1-844-51-FAITH. 1-844-51-FAITH. And if you'd rather, you can send me an email and I'll read your email right here on the air. I'll get those in real time. We are coming to you live, by the way, this Monday morning, August the 7th. And that email address is deliveredonceforall@gmail.com. deliveredonceforall@gmail.com. My guest for this hour is Pastor Ben Siebert. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Pastor Siebert, we've been trying to get you on for a while. I'm glad it finally worked out.
Well, part of the problem is I'm in Lincoln, Kansas, so that probably is why you had trouble getting hold of me.
Did I say Lincoln, Nebraska? Shame on me.
I do that sometimes. I've only been here a year, but I still sometimes say Lincoln, Nebraska.
I'm looking at my screen, and it even says Lincoln, Kansas, and I read off. But you did your vicarage, am I mistaken, in Lincoln, Nebraska?
No, that's correct. I did my vicarage in, which is kind of like an internship in Lincoln, Nebraska, and then I lived on Lincoln Avenue in Hastings, Nebraska. Now I'm in Lincoln, Kansas.
Well, if we want to find out where you're going next, we just got to find out where all the other Lincolns are.
Yeah, I think I'll probably be here for as far as I can tell the rest of my career, but we'll see.
All right. Well, it's great to have you on nonetheless. So let's start with the Bible. Some people say, look, the Muslims have the Quran, the Mormons have the Book of Mormon, the Christians have the Bible. Why should I believe the Bible to be true?
Well, I mean, we could look at the passages in Scripture that speak about its truth and testify to the rest of Scripture. Peter speaks well in this in his epistle, but then again, some would say, well, that's just the Bible speaking about itself, and that's not evidence of that. The one thing the Bible is different from all these other texts that you mentioned is there is a historical basis, and it's really founded on a historical basis. And if the historical basis is shown to be false, Scripture itself is shown to be false. These other books, when history shows something different, that's okay. We don't care. But with the one event in all of history that is the most important for us Christians, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, it is very important, not only for the authors of Scripture, but for God to let us know this is a real historical event. As marvelous and unnatural as a resurrection is otherwise, God wants us to know, and Jesus appeared to eyewitnesses, and Paul lays this out to the Corinthians, to whom he says, there's some of these people, 500 people at one time saw Jesus, and some of these people are still alive, and you can go talk to them, essentially, and get their eyewitness testimony. So the the one of the strongest basis of believing Scripture is the historicity of it. But we also know that it is inspired by God the Holy Spirit.
So what you're saying, though, I mean, I think that's a good starting point to say, you know, if this was trying to be passed off as a great fraud in the first centuries of Christianity, it would be a tough thing to get this started if it was a sham, because those who were contemporaries to, say, Paul could go and check it out themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And there were many who actually got to hear Jesus' words, not least of which are the apostles. And that's something I'm sure we'll talk about down the road. But they heard Jesus speaking of the Old Testament as though it were the Word of God. And this is how Jesus speaks. He's very often quoting our Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament Scriptures, written by the prophets, and Jesus considers these two things to be the Word of God. And now we have him rising from the dead, as he promised he would. He's a rather credible witness to the Old Testament Scriptures, knowing especially that he's the Son of God. This is also another testament to the truth of Scripture, and that it is a trustworthy resource for understanding who God is and what he wants for us.
All right, let's take a look at how some would then, those within the within Christendom, those who stand within Christianity, would articulate then their source for truth, because some would say, yes, the Bible is a source of truth, and it comes alongside of, let's say, for example, church tradition, or alongside of papal authority. How would we rightly articulate the Bible as a source for truth?
Yeah, well, the Scriptures is a source for truth, and it is we would call it infallible as far as we understand it, because it is God's word and not man's word, even though man was an instrument through which the Holy Spirit did write the Scriptures. But we understand that this is God's word for us, and the purpose of this word is our salvation, and that's probably the most important thing to consider as we look at Scripture. This is the sufficient word for our salvation. It doesn't tell me what color socks I need to wear in the morning, and it doesn't tell me what order of service I'm supposed to use on Sunday morning. But this is the proper use of Scripture is for salvation. Now, with that understood, then when those who bring tradition into the picture, if it's not in accordance with Scripture, then we really need to cast it aside as man's word and not God's word, because he does tell us in Scripture that this teaching is for our salvation. And Paul does this in Timothy, or in 1 Timothy. He speaks in this way, that these words that you've been given are for your salvation.
So how did the reformers of the 16th century Reformation, how did they articulate the authority by which we have our source for truth over and against, say, papal authority that says if the Pope decrees a particular doctrine, then it is not questioned?
Yeah, this was the issue that Luther had to deal with, and Rome still holds to this as far as their understanding of the church having the authority, especially in the office of the Pope, that God did not give us everything, and they cite various scripture passages which are well refuted by our Lutheran fathers, but they cite certain passages that try and tell us that, well, the Lord didn't tell us everything, that some of the stuff he was going to reveal later on through the teachers in the church. But actually, God's word doesn't say such things. Paul, when he's writing to the pastors that he's bringing up, he says, "Hold on to that which has been delivered to you," and he doesn't talk about future things that will be delivered to you. He's talking about when he speaks about tradition, which is this handing on, he's talking about that which you have received that God has given you, not a tradition in the sense of this is something that that's going to develop over time, and that now we do because my grandfather did it. When he speaks about tradition, he's talking about that which was delivered to the apostles and prophets and then now has been handed to us. And actually, we can hold that in our hand, and we have a translation of it, many translations of it, especially in our English language, that we can hold on to and actually read that this has been handed down to us through the Holy Spirit's work in the apostles and prophets, and now it's passed on. And this is something we're to continue to pass on, not adding our own words to it. In Revelation, which kind of closes out the end of most of our Bibles, these are actually words that are included. If anyone adds to or takes away from the words included in this book, And it's very fitting that here these are some of the closing words of the scripture. Let him be accursed. And so we have everything that we need for our salvation. So all scripture is I misspoke earlier. It's 2 Timothy I was speaking of, but all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. So that passage is pretty clear that this is the word that God has given us, which is good for our salvation as well.
Well, you're a Lutheran pastor. I assume if I attend your church there in Lincoln, Kansas, it's going to be something traditional. What's the proper place for tradition?
Well, tradition is good in the church. It actually ties us to one another, and I've been in various countries and worshipped in various languages, although I wasn't really at times speaking the language very well. I know you have as well, and it is fascinating to see that the tradition of the church, as it has spread throughout the world. While varies from place to place, even I'm sure we worship a little bit differently here in Lincoln, Kansas, than we do there in Rogue River. But I bet I would recognize the order of service and not be thrown off by the various minor differences and traditions of your location as I worship there. It is a comforting thing that way, and I think this is good for our neighbor, and this is good for those that we do have traditions that we keep and pass on in that human way, because then it allows us to step into the tradition that God has given us, which is His Holy Word, and it's not off. It's not off-putting. It's not throwing us off of into some other realm. It's bringing us into a place where God is able to speak to us with His Word, which is also part of the tradition. Our liturgy, if you will, is full of God's Word, and that's also a good thing.
We're talking with Pastor Ben Siebert. He's pastor.
Thank you for listening to Once for All on 94.3 The Bridge. We rely upon your financial support in order to keep us on the air. Would you consider partnering with us so that we can continue doing what we're doing? If so, visit our website, 943thebridge.com. Click on Donate to find out how you can help us out today. Thank you so much for your support.
In today's Takedown Minute, Dr. Martin Luther stresses the importance of both confessing the truth and smacking down false doctrine. He writes, "If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the Word of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Him. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point." That was Dr. Martin Luther for today's Takedown Minute.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. Japanese automakers Toyota Motor Corporation and Mazda Motor Corporation say they are planning to spend $1.6 billion to set up a joint venture auto manufacturing plant in the U.S. Both companies say this will create up to 4,000 jobs. Officials of both companies say the plant will have an annual production capacity of about 300,000 vehicles and will produce Toyota Corollas for the North American market. The Labor Department says employers across the nation added 209,000 jobs in July. The government report says the unemployment rate slipped to 4.3% from 4.4%. And Wall Street opens this morning after the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed on Friday at 22,092. With business, I'm Dennis Crowley.
Welcome back. You are listening to Once for All. It is great to have you with us today. And we are on the line with Pastor Ben Siebert of St. John Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Kansas, talking today about the sufficiency of God's Word. Now, Pastor Siebert, excuse me, before the break, you made the case quite well that from a perspective of Roman Catholic theology, where they would assert that there is papal authority to bring about revealed truth, even if that doesn't come directly from the scriptures. Is there a similarity, at least, in that when a Christian will speak about God revealing certain things to him or her that they would admit is also not in the scriptures, but God has laid this on my heart? Is that a similarity to what the Pope was doing in the Roman Catholic Church?
It really is. This is not a new problem. Martin Luther certainly spoke of this. He called it, well, in German he called it the Schrammer, which is kind of like this buzzing noise that bees make. but enthusiast, when I think of somebody who's enthusiastic, I think of somebody who's excited about something, and maybe you're cheering for it, or maybe they're just a strong advocate for it. Nothing wrong with that kind of enthusiasm. But the root root of that word is actually meaning something else. Enthusiast is someone who, en meaning in, and theos is God. So it's as one of my mentors when I was up in Nebraska calls them, a God withinner. So somebody who finds God within themselves, speaking instead of without themselves, outside of themselves, in the Word of God, speaking through these external means. So God speaking within me. Martin Luther calls the Pope an enthusiast because the papacy an enthusiastic office because they, as we just were speaking, they find God speaking outside of Scripture. But God hasn't promised that. He hasn't promised to speak outside of Scripture to us. Now, there have been prophets who have heard the voice of God, or who have heard God speak to them, and we see this in Scripture. But He hasn't made that promise to you and I. In Hebrews, the author of Hebrews writes, in many and various ways, God spoke to His people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son. That's probably good evidence for the fact that God isn't going to speak in the same way that He did in the past, because He has given us that which we need to know for our salvation. So if there are Christians out there who say, God has laid this upon my heart, or I feel strongly that, or even my mother told me this, or sometimes, unfortunately, because pastors are sinners and some pastors aren't faithful, my pastor when I was young told me this, and those things always need to be weighed against what does Scripture say. I may feel very strongly about something, but if it's wrong, I'm feeling very strongly about something that's not true. Yesterday, our text for one of the options for our text this year was Jesus warning about false prophets. Well, how do you know if it's true? If a prophet is true or false, and the way you measure what a false prophet or not is Jesus' by his fruit, and that's not necessarily talking about his way of life. You're to weigh that certainly. If you find him out at the bar with somebody who's not his wife, he's probably not fit to be a teacher because he's not living according to God's word, or not trying to live according to God's word. But then there's also the fact that if someone speaks words that are contrary to God's word, then this is a problem because God does not contradict himself. God does not speak against what he's already spoken. And so adding or taking away from Scripture is not a safe thing to do, because Jesus tells us, beware. It's sort of like, going to the feeling thing, or God laid this on my heart, it's sort of like, how do you know if that mushroom in your yard is edible? How do you know if you can eat it? Well, you could look at it and kind of think, well, it looks similar to the mushroom I buy in the store, or, I just feel like this is an important thing to eat. Either one of those is probably not a safe thing to do, because sometimes mushrooms that look like other mushrooms are actually poisonous. And you might not even feel it, because it might be causing some internal damage to your organs. And so how do I know the truth? Well, God doesn't want us to be uncertain. He wants us to go to his word, because it is clear. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, Psalm says. So this is not a dark thing, even though sometimes there are passages that are confusing. That's not God's fault. That's our fault. But Scripture is something that God has delivered to us so that we can be certain and not rely upon feelings or that kind of thing.
I mean, I find this in maybe a couple different ways. I think a lot of people are ready for the kind of thing that you had just described from the false prophet. So I have my Bible in hand, and then someone comes along and says, here's a new doctrine, here's a new teaching, let me tell you about it. And they say, wait a minute, I don't find it in the Scriptures, so you're a false teacher. But there's also maybe a more subtle approach here, where a person is open to new revelations apart from God's word, and as long as they can't find a contradiction, then it stands. So that might happen something like this. A husband comes home one day and says, honey, God told me that he wants us to sell everything we have and move to China. Now, I don't know if God wants this person to move to China, but he says that God had told him. And you can't go to the Bible to say that. I mean, that's not a contradiction from God's word, per se, that he doesn't want people to move to China. So how do we approach a situation like that, where I'm getting information, I'm getting revelation from God, but I don't have some chapter and verse that would be cited as a false doctrine.
Yeah, and this is something that people will come up with from time to time, using. We have to always remember this when we think about these things. The devil is also at work in this world, and he brings at times words, and he brings deception and lies, and he masquerades as an angel of light. So sometimes we need to, when if we have a feeling like that, or if somebody has a feeling like that, let's look at the scripture and see if it says anything about such things, and we should be on guard when we have such notions, because as I guess I quoted this already, but in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews and the Holy Spirit tells us, the Lord has spoken in the past through the prophets, but now he's spoken through his Son. Is it wrong to move to China? Well, no. And if you have a notion to move to China, I would say, well, look into it and think about your family and all those things and what work you might do there, especially if you have a desire to be a missionary. What a wonderful thing, especially if you want to go through the training and that teaching to be able to properly teach people about Christ and his work. But we should be cautioned against placing our thoughts and our feelings as far as God using those, because the devil is always at work. And can he bring things to mind? Can he tempt us in certain ways away from where we are actually at, away from our callings in life? Yes, and he loves to do that. The devil loves to cause strife in marriage, cause strife between parents and children, and brothers and sisters in Christ. And the weight of our own feelings should not outweigh the scriptures.
Now, when you started talking about this enthusiast, and I like the way you put that, the in God within her.
That's, I didn't coin the phrase, but
okay.
I really appreciate the pastor who taught that to me.
I appreciate you passing it along to me. So could you just say more why the inside is a lousy place to look for God's revealed truth?
Well, I think we can look back in the Garden of Eden, and this is actually where Luther directs us to see how this God within her thing started. So God planted a garden in Eden, and gave, you know, everything that Adam and Eve needed for food and sustenance, and gave them actually work to do as well. And he said, "You may eat from every tree that is in the garden, but you shall not eat from the tree that is in the midst of the garden." And he's speaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. "For on the day that you eat of it, you shall die." So that's the external word of God spoken to Adam, which he passed on to Eve. That's pretty clear. Well, then we see when Satan comes to bring temptation, he comes as a serpent to the woman and says, "Oh, did God really say that you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Well, Eve knows the answer. The external word of God says, "Oh no, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Whether Eve added that or Adam did, I don't know. But the serpent said, "You will not surely die, but for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So now Satan is contradicting God's external word, bringing a lie. And now this next verse then reveals this God within her kind of attitude. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate and gave some to her husband who was also with her. Hmm. So now the word is coming from within. She sees with her eyes and she sees that it's good for food and it's good to make one wise, even though God told her, even if it was through the words of Adam, but God told her, no, this is not good. This will kill you. And now she's relying upon herself. And not to go back too much of this mushroom analogy, but you know, if a guidebook, field guidebook, tells you this mushroom is poisonous, and you say, well, I don't think so. If the guidebook is right, you will die, and this is not good for you. So when God, with His Word, tells us what is good and what is evil, we need to believe that word, because God is actually caring for us through His Word. And as I said at the beginning, the purpose of God's Word, this is always how we should understand God's Word. It is to bring us the knowledge of salvation and to give us Jesus and His work for us.
So, in other words, Eve was doing fine when she was quoting that word of God that Adam had given to her, but when an alternative, when the lie came from the serpent, she was able to, she ran that lie not against the word of God, but she ran that lie against her own appetite, her own experience as to whether or not this seemed good for food, whether it seemed appealing to the eye. And I wonder if this isn't then seen in our own day with this kind of postmodernism, that something is right for me, that this is, you know, my truth. Or as it's articulated in the throughout the book of Judges, that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Is this sort of the same error?
Yeah, this is it exactly, and you know, so that just shows you there's nothing new under the sun when the book of Judges speaks in that way, and now in this day, everyone does what is right in their own eyes, and they say it's right. there is no objective truth for some in this culture, and this becomes a problem, because if there is no objective truth, then what is God's word? And well, God's word is truth, and it has proven to be true. Not only the historic side, but also the saints who have gone before us, and we see archaeology continuing to prove again and again that even the historical aspects of Scripture are true. This becomes a problem, because if I believe that, you know, well, I just don't think that it's possible that Jericho could have fallen in the way that Scripture says. And well, why don't you believe that? You might ask. Well, I just feel it. But then there's evidence that shows it. Well, this becomes a problem with my perception of reality, and that's a historic example. But then when it comes to other truth claims of the Scriptures and how we receive salvation, this becomes a matter of salvation. It becomes a matter of eternity. And this is why, as a church, we need to stand up for the truth of Scripture and not bring in other things. And even as Christians, that we really ought not to direct people to our feelings, but rather to the Word of God. Now, our feelings and our thoughts on things can be important, but when it comes to our salvation and the salvation of others, we really need to direct people to that sure and certain hope that was found in Scriptures, which is kind of like a rock on which we are placed in Christ Jesus.
So, to come full circle then, the we talked about the postmodernist, for example. It says everyone has their own truth. This is true because it's true for me. Well, some Christians would reject that. At the same time, they're in some way committing the same error when they say, God has told me this, and they have ascertained that information not because of what the scripture says, but they've ascertained what God wants or God's will based upon really what it feels right. Is that fundamentally the same error as the postmodernists or those in the book of Judges?
Yeah, no, this is, and this is that same enthusiasm, which we all as sinful beings need to continually fight against, and always be looking to the outside, the external word that God brings to us through those whom He has given to us. So He has given us the prophets and the apostles. He has delivered the word to them, and Jesus actually promises this as He speaks to the apostles on the night in which He's betrayed. He says, "I will." The Father will send you the Helper, the Counselor, which the Holy Spirit, and He will bring to mind everything I have said to you. Now, this is what the apostles did, and this is what we call the New Testament. Is these are the words of Jesus delivered to the apostles, and this is why this is trustworthy. Is they received it from Him, and as Peter writes, you know, The scriptures weren't written by men and just their notions, but they were moved along by the Holy Spirit, and these words are from the Holy Spirit. So that is our confidence, is that these are words from God. I can't have that same confidence when it comes to even a dream in the middle of the night. I just can't have that confidence that this is from God. Can God do that? Yes. He can, but how do I know that I've heard from God? Well, I know that I've heard from God when I read the scriptures.
All right, we're going to take a quick break right there. We're talking with Pastor Ben Siebert from St. John Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Kansas, and you are listening to Once for All. More with Pastor Siebert right after this.
The phone lines are now open. Call toll-free 1-844-51-FAITH. That's 1-844-51-FAITH.
And now it's time for Table Talk Extras with Pastor Brian Wolf-Mueller.
Can you believe this parable, the parable of the sinner and the Pharisee? They both come up to the temple to pray, and one goes home justified, the other doesn't. The one that goes home justified is not the man who's good, not the man who studies his Bible every day and prays three times a day regularly, not the man who's dressed nice, who has it all going for him, who has lots of friends, who's well-liked in the community. It's not the man who you want to be who goes home justified. It's the man you don't want to be. It's the sinner, the tax collector, the low-life criminal. The man who you wouldn't let date your daughter, the man who you wouldn't let in your house, that's the one that gets to heaven. You see, we govern things by works, by doing good, by being right and holy before each other, but God is totally different. He judges things based not on our works. If He did, who would be good enough? Who would be holy enough? Nobody. Not on our works, but on Christ Jesus, who does all for us. So this parable, the parable of the sinner and the Pharisee, teaches us to despair of ourselves, of our own attempts at self-righteousness, of all of our sense of being good enough or holy enough for God, to despair of these things, to let all of these things go, to die to these things, to beat at our chest and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because it's for sinners that Christ came, it's for sinners that Christ died, and it's for sinners like you and me. Christ has the promise of forgiveness, of justification, of eternal life. Amen.
This has been a production of Table Talk Radio. For more information, visit tabletalkradio.org.
With SRN Sports, I'm Greg Clugston. Former Chicago Bears quarterback Jay Cutler was scheduled to be a TV analyst this upcoming NFL season, but he's pausing those plans and heading back to the football field. Cutler has signed a one-year contract with the Miami Dolphins, who are in sudden need of more quarterback help following Ryan Tannehill's knee injury. Major League Baseball, the red-hot L.A. Dodgers shut out the Mets 8-0. With the win, the Dodgers completed a convincing seven-game season sweep, outscoring the Mets 57-15 in the season series. The Cardinals fell behind 3-0 in the first inning before putting together a 4-run second and a 9-run fourth to clobber the Reds 13-4. The Mariners and Royals split a doubleheader. The other winners in yesterday's action were the Nationals, Rays, Red Sox, Yankees, Orioles, Astros, Phillies, Giants, Pirates, Twins, A's, and Marlins. This is SRN Sports.
You said the Dolphins made a...
Martin Truex Jr. took the checkered flag in yesterday's Monster Energy Cup race. Afterwards, he said he appreciates getting a victory at Watkins Glen, New York.
Definitely feels really special to finally get that win here. I consider it one of my home tracks with Pocono, Dover, New Hampshire, and Watkins Glen. So, I mean, these are the Northeast tracks are where we grew up racing. This is where my family raced, where my dad raced.
The NFL has slapped Falcons cornerback Jalen Collins with a 10-game suspension without pay. It will mark the second straight year Collins will have to miss the opener for a violation of the league's policy on performance enhancers. Collins will be eligible to return to the active roster in late November. Hideki Matsuyama won by two shots at the PGA's Bridgestone Invitational in Ohio, and at St. Andrews, Scotland, I.M. Kim wins the Women's British Open. This is SRN Sports.
You're listening to Once for All, just about 10 more minutes for your phone calls. Toll free at 1-844-51-FAITH. Talking with Pastor Ben Siebert of St. John Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Kansas. And Pastor Siebert, before the break, you have done such a great job of demonstrating why it is that we look to the Scriptures alone. And the point is that this is something external. This is something outside of us. It's that God is communicating to us not on the inside but on the outside through His revealed truth, His Scriptures. Now, some people have a bit of a fundamental disagreement with just the way God reveals, so that we find God working through the external means, that He has made certain promises upon water to baptize us into the Christian faith in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We say that God is giving us something real and true in the Lord's Supper by binding His body and blood to bread and wine. And some people say, no, those spiritual things are things that happen really internally. Spiritual means intangible. How do we rightly understand this?
Well, the way that we probably should understand this is as God speaks and as God has acted. This is not an uncommon problem, because we tend to think of the physical as dirty, and honestly, there's dust on my desk, and there's a sticky spot on my floor. These are not pleasant things. We think of physical things are below, and spiritual things are above. And in one sense, I suppose we can understand that in that way. But here's the problem: the incarnation. The fact that our Lord Jesus Christ has flesh, human flesh, who has taken on our humanity into Himself, this then is how we are to understand God. Now, Jesus, as he walked the earth in his earthly ministry, he got dirt on him, and more than that, he died. He was beaten, bloodied, spit upon, and hung on a cross and actually died. This kind of rocks our, if you will, enthusiastic spiritual world, because the Lord loves His creation. The Lord has come into His creation in the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. He's and so Well, when it comes to the way God works, it actually is through this physical, what we might term dirty, world. In fact, you and I were, Adam, whom we descend from, made from dirt. Dust you are, to dust you shall return. These are words that were spoken after the curse of sin and death. Well, these are also words that we often hear, on Ash Wednesday, but also when we have a funeral. So we shouldn't be surprised when God works through these physical means. Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever hears you, hears me." Well, that's not a very spiritual, internal thing. That's actually a very external thing. The apostles actually went out, and they spoke, and they actually wrote. And so when we hear the Word of God as it is written and read, we actually hear Jesus' words to you and to me. And that's a comforting thing. This teaching of Scripture is meant to be a comfort to us, because now I don't have to wonder if God loves me. I know that He does. Yes, I also know that those sins that are given in Scripture, that these are bad things. I know that I do those things and that I am sinner, but I also know God loves me. He died for me in Christ Jesus. This is good to know that God works through external means, such as baptism. When God says baptism now saves you, well, I know that while it looks like just plain water, there really is something spiritual going on, because the Word of God, that external Word, is included with it.
Something that's pretty common today is people to go, quote, church shopping, and they'll go to a church maybe they've never been to before, looking for the church that's right for them, and walk out of service, and they'll might say something like this, "Boy, you know, like could really feel uplifted after that service," or "I didn't really feel the Spirit moving in that service." Can we apply what you just said to worship itself?
We can, and really we should understand it that way. As long as the Word of God is being proclaimed and rightly taught, and the Scriptures being, the sacraments being rightly administered in accordance with how God has given it to be, then we know that the Spirit is there. Because as God's Word speaks in Isaiah, you know, it's like rain that comes down and returns. His Word does not go forth, the Spirit does not go forth without accomplishing that which He desires. So this is good to remember, that whether you feel it or not, if you're in a place that is rightly teaching God's Word, the Spirit's there, and He's at work. Yeah, some mornings I'm pretty cranky, and I don't feel much when I'm at church. I'm a pastor; I have to be at church. I might not even feel like going to church. Most days I do. It's the joy of my week most weeks. But there are times when I don't feel like I got anything out of it. I'm just delivering. I really did get something out of it, though. I really did, whether I feel it or not. Sometimes I feel it a lot, and those are wonderful moments, but I don't base the truth of God's Word on my feelings. I have the knowledge that the truth is true, even if I don't feel it to be true.
What pastoral advice would you give, even members of your own congregation, if someone came to you and said, "You know, Pastor, I have this coworker, I have this relative, and every time he or she talks to me, they are telling me what God says or God's will is this, but they're never telling me that this is what the Bible says. What should I say?"
So getting a different job isn't an option, right?
I suppose. No, it's always on the table.
No, if this is always happening, I think I would find the Scripture passages, and some of them we've talked about here, but find the Scripture passages that speak about the purpose of Scripture and what it does, and that is sufficient. That I have everything I need in these words because they give me Jesus. And so if God speaks, if someone thinks that God is speaking to them and they're speaking about this, well, how do they know? How do you know that this is God and not a trick of Satan? And how can you be sure of that? And I think that most Christians would turn to the Word of God. And this is where you would want to direct them, is how do you know what God is saying? Well, it's here. In the Word of God, He has given everything that we need for salvation, which is the purpose that God has given. Now, He's not going to tell you what to wear in the morning. He's not going to tell you these things that He's given you freedom in. And we should not twist this to, I guess this is kind of arm twisting of other Christians too, saying, well, God told me that you need to take a vacation to Alaska. Well, that's kind of twisting your arm in a way that doesn't need to be, because you're free to take a vacation to Alaska, or you could go to the middle of Kansas, and it's your choice. You are free to do that, and God's law does not say you can't do that.
A lot of tourism to Kansas, is there?
Oh, there's some interesting things in Kansas, and there's many things I haven't seen yet. But yeah, I think there's some tourism down here.
Well, I think it only makes sense if the prophet is going to come and tell me where to take a vacation, the prophet should at least pay for it, don't you think?
Right. I think that would be very, very appropriate. And if the prophet's going to do that, he should probably also be telling you about Jesus, because that's what God wants His word to speak of. If they aren't telling you about Jesus and what He's done for you, then probably not a true prophet.
All right, with just about 40 seconds to respond, tell us why this distinction that you've laid out, you know, seeing God's revealed truth objectively in the Word of God in the Scriptures versus God within, how does this make a difference for people's spiritual care? As a pastor, how does it make a difference in the lives of your people?
Well, really, it's a matter of comfort and peace. So that one knows that when they hear the Word of God, either read or that they're reading it at home, or when their pastor speaks the Word of God, especially when it comes to forgiveness of sins, they know, without a doubt, that God has forgiven their sins in Christ Jesus and His work on the cross, and they're at peace. They have eternal salvation. There's no doubt about it, because it's not an internal thing. It's something that God has spoken.
All right, we've been talking with Pastor Ben Siebert. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Kansas. Thank you, Pastor Siebert. It's always great to have you on. We'll have to have you on again soon.
All right, thank you.
And thank you for listening to this edition of Once for All. If you miss any part of today's episode, you want to listen to it again, just head on over to our website, onceforallradio.com. onceforallradio.com. is the web address. You can also download any of our past episodes. And if you want to chime in after the fact, you can still do so by calling that number toll free, 1-844-51-FAITH. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next time on Once for All.
This has been Once for All. You can contact the show by sending an email, deliveredonceforall@gmail.com. You can listen again to this show or any other episodes by visiting onceforallradio.com. Until next time, stand firm in the faith, once delivered to the saints.